Welcome back to the Ozone Football Podcast, this special Michigan Week edition. Today we will be joined by a special guest, someone who beat Michigan four times,
which is
four more times than you or I have beat.
Yeah, but it's gotten pretty common of late.
Yeah, it is, so maybe it's not that impressive, actually. but before we get to that, we'll talk a little bit about this game. This past weekend, as always, Rob Ogden, joined by Tony Gerdeman here. Ohio State's coming off a 42-14 senior day win over Indiana on Saturday. Second straight week, weather conditions seem to have a little bit of effect on the game. Buckeyes are forced to kind of rely on the running game. Yeah. Carlos Hyde rushes for 117 yards on 18 carries. Gets the 53 yards he needed to become Urban Meyer's first 1,000-yard running back. I think he did that, midway through the second quarter or so?
Yeah, it was pretty early on.
Yeah, he hit it right on the dot at 1,000.
Yeah.
What can you say about Carlos Hyde? 1,000 yards.
Yeah, and he hasn't carried the ball much. That's been the most impressive thing. I wonder what happens, what this offense looks like when he has to carry it 30 times, either maybe this week or next.
Yeah.
And how he does. And, you haven't seen them just put everything on his shoulders necessarily yet, they have with past running backs. Beanie Wells had, 39 carries for 222 yards back, against Michigan 1 year. So I wonder if, maybe we'll see that eventually.
Is the difference that they don't need to put it on Carlos Hyde's shoulders because there's so many other guys that can carry the load as well.
Yeah, and the effectiveness with Braxton Miller, when he could pull off, 40-yard run here and 37-yard run there, that's, those are 8 or 10 carries that don't have to go to a running back.
Right. Braxton carried it 13 times. He had 144 yards net. I mean, is there going to be, against Michigan, we saw what Carlos did last year. They kind of relied on him then. Mm-hmm. But back then, they needed to rely on him.
Yeah.
Are we going to see a game where Carlos Hyde gets up near 30 carries again for the rest of the season, or does that mean their offense isn't working like it should be?
Yeah, I guess, Braxton was held in check on the ground last year against Michigan pretty well.
Yeah.
But he's so effective right now that you wonder how would a team contain them both. Because right now, they're focusing on Carlos Hyde, and Indiana held him in check pretty well, relatively well,
mm-hmm.
but then that left Braxton to run free, and you can't. I don't think you can focus on one without the other hurting you.
Yeah. Are you worried at all about the passing game? I mean, it was so effective for a few weeks there, and then is it just the weather? But Braxton's only completed he had 11 on Saturday. I think he had 13 the week before, but only 160 yards. Which it wasn't a terrible day or anything, but it just the completions, the numbers weren't there as they have been in the past. And Tom Herman said a couple weeks ago that he was a little bit off. Mm-hmm. Is it something Braxton's doing, or is it just because it was snowing?
I think it's just November in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
If you have a running game that you can rely on, you don't need to pass the ball. And, Indiana and Illinois don't have that, so they each throw it 50 times, in the last 2 weeks. But Ohio State doesn't have to do that because they can, run it at will.
Right.
But I think the interesting thing was that, Urban said Braxton Miller threw his best pass as a quarterback against Indiana.
Yeah, and he said he had his best game rushing.
Yeah,
ever.
So, despite the conditions, and he's obviously doing stuff that, the staff likes.
But I don't think anybody thinks they're going to be able to rely on the run for the rest of the season.
Right.
I mean, maybe against Michigan, yes. Maybe even against Michigan State, who knows? I don't know.
But I think the interesting thing, though, would be, they could probably get away with doing what they're doing against Michigan, but Michigan State will be a controlled environment, weather. So, it'll be just like September or October out there.
So we agree at some point they're going to have to get back to airing it out they were earlier on in the season. A lot of that success can be running can be traced to the offensive line. Four seniors play their final home game in Columbus. How much is that going to hurt to lose those four guys next year? And really, how big of a part of this team are they?
It's huge. You're going to lose four guys who have started for, their combined starts are ridiculous. And, any one of those losses would be difficult to replace. But now, you're going to have to find a left tackle, which, is like perhaps the most important, aspect of the offensive line. Then the entire interior. You look at Michigan struggles this year.
Yeah.
A lot of it is because of three new starters on the interior.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Ohio State would hope to have better quality than what Michigan has. But, that's a lot to replace. Does Taylor Decker go over to the left tackle? That's what I'm assuming he does.
Yeah.
And so then you've just got to, find four guys to the right of him.
I mean, against Illinois when Muhort was out, Meyer said it was devastating. Mm-hmm. That's just one guy.
Yeah.
He's the best, but he's just one guy. add Lindsley, Norwell, and Hall to that list.
Yeah. The good thing, I think, is that they've gotten some interior guys a lot of time this year. Elflein has played a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jacoby Bourne has played a lot. And you would expect those two to be, you know, Elflein will be at a guard, Bourne will be the starting center. And so, you know, Decker at one tackle. So you've got two guys, two spots that you're not really sure of yet. So, I mean, that's better than being completely unsure of four spots, I think.
Is there any debate that the offensive line is by far the best unit on the team?
Okay. There's some pretty good units on offense, though. The quarterback's a pretty good unit.
That's true.
But I don't think none of this would be happening without that offensive line. So
it's hard to compare.
Yeah.
If you're ranking units.
I mean, what would Cardale Jones, you know, what would the record be if he was starting this year with that offensive line? He'd have a winning record.
Sure.
You know, but without that offensive line, the poor guy would be in hospital.
That's true.
You know, so I think they might be the most important because there's a bunch of running backs that could run the ball here.
Yeah. Defensively, Ryan Shazier played out of his mind. He had 20 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, a sack, forced fumble. Mm-hmm. It was the first 20-tackle performance by an Ohio State player since A.J. Hawk did so in 2004.
Yeah, I was surprised. The 16 solo tackles and 5 tackles for loss tied school records.
Yeah. Yeah, just an insane game for him. It's kind of interesting. His numbers since he's been wearing number 2, which Christian Bryant said he's been playing better since he's wearing, because he's been playing for both of us. 72 tackles. This is 6 games going back to the Wisconsin game. 13.5 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Pretty incredible if you think about it.
Yeah, no interceptions. Just, you know, maybe he adopted Christian Bryant's hands as well as his jersey number.
Yeah, that could be. How confident are you, though, that Saturday's game was Shazier's last in the horseshoe?
Pretty confident. You know, you're seeing him pop up on a lot of mock drafts now. And
yeah.
He's sort of like last year, you know, he finishes so strong. You know, and he's doing it again this year. I don't know what else he has to prove. You know, he's not going to get any heavier. You don't want him any heavier. He's not going to get any bigger. He's going to be as fast as he ever is. And you know, I think he's sort of done all he can at Ohio State.
You don't think they want to beef him up a little bit for the NFL?
I think they will once he gets there. But
yeah,
he's
235.
You look at a guy like, you know, what they did with A.J. Hawk. They beefed him up too much. You know, he became a lesser player.
That's true.
You know?
The thing with Shazier is he said that he can get up to 250 and be as fast as he is now.
I don't know.
If that's the case, they're going to want him up there.
Even at 250, if he's slower, he's still going to be fast as hell.
Yeah, but he said he can be just as fast.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. But he has been his fastest when he's at his heaviest, though, at Ohio State. He's just never been that heavy.
Yeah, his fastest 40 time.
Was that like 235 or something, right?
I think it might have been higher.
Really? And that was like 4.39, he said, or something of that nature, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that he'll be gone next year. While we're on the subject, we can throw in Braxton Miller's name, just for speculation. Thoughts on that?
I wonder how much this struggles, if we can call him that, in this weather has altered or, you know, affected his decision, because you're going to get a lot of this in the NFL, you know, depending on where you go. It's going to be like this for, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of the season.
Right.
And even worse if you go further in the season. So I think nobody thinks he's ready, but that doesn't really mean that he's still going.
No, I mean, we know, especially from basketball, that doesn't mean that.
No. I expect him to be back, don't you?
I don't think he's ready. There's no doubt about that. I know John Prentice, our esteemed editor, thinks he's good as gone.
Yeah.
I think the thing that he's concerned with about that is that he thinks that Braxton is worried about re-injuring himself and then blowing his shot at a professional career. Because he's... has had such a troubled past with the injuries during his college career that maybe if he has a chance to go pro, he might do it.
But did you see any injury concern against Indiana, the way he was flying around?
No, I didn't see any lingering injury effects, if that's what you mean.
No, but he didn't seem to be worried about getting hurt, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, he didn't. I mean, the way he landed on his head.
Yeah.
So that's true. But, yeah, who knows? But like I said, I don't think he's ready.
It's a tough lure, obviously, because, you know, you're guaranteed to be set for life even if you play a few years and you're smart with it, if you're drafted high enough. But he could set his family up for life, you know, with one more year being a first rounder as opposed to being a fourth rounder, you know?
Yeah, if that. I mean,
and especially we go always talk about all of the quarterbacks in this draft that could potentially come
so
out.
So many. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks in this draft that, I mean, I could probably name 10 right now that everybody would have on their board ahead of Braxton. So, I mean, I think everyone's in agreement that this might not be the best year for him to come out, but that's not necessarily. I'm sure all of the Ohio State fans would have said the same about B.J. Mullins and Dave
Well, and then, you know, we go back to the offensive line. Would you want to come back to an all-new offensive line?
See, man, that goes back to the injury concern.
Yeah. Well, there you go, yeah. He might not be worried about it now, but, you know, obviously you'd have to be worried about it with four new starters on the line.
I think it's a possibility he goes. I don't think it's a for sure thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It'd be a possibility.
I mean, what percent are you putting on it? Like, are you going like 60-40 he stays?
I'll probably go 65-35 he stays.
65-35. All right. What else do we want to talk about? The win streak, 23 in a row. Pretty remarkable. That's what, Urban's third 20-game streak? I think he's now 24-0 if you count. Well, not 24-0, but he's won 24 straight if you count his last game going back to Florida, which is pretty incredible. How long can they keep this going?
Well, who do they open up with next year?
Is that Virginia Tech?
But I guess, you know, you still got three games this year. I think most everybody expects them to beat Michigan, but you're going to see a lot of people thinking Michigan State is the trendy pick, you know, and I think they could definitely trip up against Michigan State. You look at all the teams out there. You look at Oregon against Arizona, gets blown out. You know, it only takes you know, a few days of poor preparation to lose a game that you had no idea you were going to lose.
Oregon didn't want to. Oregon, I mean, I think they quit. They're a better team than that. They didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, after they were out of the national championship picture, I think they quit.
So if they had beaten Stanford, then they would roll through Arizona pretty much.
I think they would have. I think they're obviously a much better. They're not what they lose 40-0.
Yeah.
40-0. They're not that bad. Right. I think they quit. I mean, they don't want to go to the Rose Bowl, and now they're not going to the Rose Bowl. So. But I think they quit. Getting back to Ohio State, though. Michigan this week, we got a little injury update. Meyer said both the Grants are expected to be back. Duran Grant, he left Saturday's game midway through. Precautionary reasons is what Meyer called it. Curtis Grant, linebacker, could have played. He was held out for the second straight week. He has an ankle injury. But Meyer said he'll be good to go Saturday. So that's good news for them. And getting onto the BCS a little bit, Ohio State's still number three, third consecutive week now, I believe, after Oregon lost.
Right.
Third consecutive week, Alabama and Florida State, number one. Baylor's no longer a threat because they lost, even though Gerd said they were going to win by, what'd you have them up by, like 17 points?
Yeah, I think I said like 59-42. I was close. I mean, it was a blowout like I predicted.
You did predict a blowout, so we'll give you that. But Baylor no longer a threat. Now it's Auburn and Missouri. Are those real threats?
I think so. I mean, Auburn, anytime you play a rivalry game at home, I think you have a shot. And I think Alabama didn't look all that impressive against Mississippi State, did they?
No, they did not. Yeah. And Auburn's had 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah, and, you know, Alabama may have been looking ahead, but Mississippi State's no good, you know. How far ahead could you be looking to struggle like that against Mississippi State? And Mississippi State gave away some points, so.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone was talking about whether Baylor would pass Ohio State. They were only, what, .0013 behind. Yeah. And I kind of wanted Baylor to win just to see if they would pass Ohio State, because everyone was debating about it. We got to see if Jerry Palm was right or not.
Yeah, right. Because he won it. Yeah.
But
I would have liked, you know, we talked about it. I wanted to see then if Ohio State would have re-jumped them to see.
Yeah, it would have been interesting, but, you know, now we'll never know.
Dang.
What a shame. But the lead on Auburn is a little more comfortable than the lead was on Baylor. Ohio State also gained a little bit on Florida State, and Florida State, they gained a little bit on Alabama. I don't think that's going to shuffle up at all.
Going to need to be a lot of politicking and a lot of people coming around for Ohio State to, you know, bypass Florida State.
Yeah. It's all hypothetical now, but if Auburn did beat Alabama and went on to the SEC championship game and won, is there a case for them over Ohio State?
No.
I don't think so either. But people will make it.
I think once you lose your right to, you know, argue you know, to, I mean, you, other teams have to lose for you to be involved, you know, for you to get in an argument. And right now there are two teams who haven't, so they win the argument.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if that happens. Honestly, I don't think it's going to happen. I hope we get a game out of them, though. We'll see. Yeah. I can see Alabama rolling them, though. I don't know. What do you think?
I just don't think Auburn will be able to run wide like they like. They'll have to run it up inside and, you know, get some play actions. But Gus Malzahn, I mean, he always has something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he'll have something that will give Alabama fits. It's just, will they be able to do it for four quarters or will it just be two quarters?
So the official stance of the Ozone podcast is that if Auburn beats Alabama, they will not jump Ohio State.
Correct.
So we're going to stand by that.
Yeah, I think
so.
Yeah.
Unless somebody loses, it's going to finish Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State.
Yeah.
So you can take that to the bank, everybody,
right,
because the Ozone podcast told you to.
And we don't lie.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we need to talk about? Oh, well, this isn't about the BCS, but we would be remiss if we did not mention Florida's loss to Georgia Southern on Saturday.
Man.
I mean, do you have anything to say about that, or are there no words?
Well, there are more words than passes completed by Georgia Southern, you know, which they were 0 for 3 passing. What did they run for, over 400 yards?
It was over 400 yards.
I mean, that's ridiculous on so many levels that, you know, Florida could be this bad. And Georgia Southern came in at 6-4, so it's not like they're a great FCS team.
No. And the other thing that blows my mind, when there's a big upset, what's your first thought? Well, the favorite team must have turned the ball over a bunch of times. Florida didn't turn the ball over once. Georgia Southern turned it over twice.
I mean, just really, really awful. You have to be really, really bad. But they get top classes every year, so, you know, they're just totally,
I don't know, they're terrible.
Coached.
My next thought would be, well, maybe Florida State just had a bunch of, you know, really, or Florida just had a bunch of really dumb penalties. No, they had two penalties for 20 yards. So what? Are they just? I mean, they're just that bad.
You know, I guess if you don't play that bad and you still lose to Georgia Southern, you must be really terrible.
You played a good game. You held them without a single pass. You didn't commit a turnover. You had two penalties. That's a good game, and you still lost to Georgia Southern.
Smart Gators, but just not very good. Just dumb.
Are you surprised that Muschamp is still the coach of Florida?
I am. I thought he would get fired that night.
3 days later?
Yeah, and instead, you know, he's gotten, you know, the vote of confidence, and they'll give him one more year or whatever, but how can you? I mean, I'm sure they don't want to just keep churning through coaches, but what kind of faith can you have in a performance like that?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's embarrassing.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, can he save his job? Is that this week? That's this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's in Gainesville, right? Florida State?
If he hasn't been fired by now, I think he can save his job this weekend.
Well, if he hasn't been fired by now, I don't think he's going to be fired.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, especially if the USC job is open, you know, do they want to compete with, you know, with that? Texas, maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, if somehow Florida could pull off a miracle and beat Florida State, I mean, this is actually a bad thing that Florida is this bad for Ohio State, because they almost desperately need Florida to beat Florida State.
Yeah, but there's funny. About a Buckeye fans love to see Florida struggle, but now it's like killing them.
Yeah, because now Florida won't beat Florida State. I mean, there's no chance. I mean, is there any chance? Point one.
I don't think so, because, you know, where is Florida going to score enough points? Like I think we maybe talked about in the past, Florida State could score 17 and, you know, win by 10, you know?
Yeah.
So
It'll be an ugly one for sure. Anything else you want to say about the BCS before we move on?
No, I'm good. Let's go.
All right. Michigan, finally, the one we've all been waiting for. Is this quite like the game of the century, or is this like the game of the year, game of the day, game of the? I mean, because, you know, what is it like? Game of the? It's not even the game of the city in Ann Arbor. There's probably a better game going on in like at some high school with the way Michigan's playing right now.
There's probably a more talented team somewhere around there. Who's Michigan State playing?
Minnesota. I think so. Let's see. What chance does Michigan have at knocking off Ohio State and ending the 23-game win streak in the perfect season?
I think every way you look at this, Ohio State is favored in all aspects, but the one equalizer is, you know, crazy things happen during rivalry games.
Right.
You know, and I think it would take turnovers, and Ohio State has turned it over before. You know, they did it, you know, in the Rich Rod era when, you know, they had vastly superior teams, but, you know, they turn it over early. You know, it wouldn't matter. But I think it comes down to turnovers. because Michigan with a short field, like they had against Iowa, they didn't have to travel too much in that first half, and they got some points on the board before they got shut down. If you don't turn it over, I don't know how Michigan is going to win this game.
Yeah. You know, speaking of our friends at Georgia Southern, could Ohio State win this game without completing a pass?
That would be, you know, Michigan's pretty good run defense, but they haven't faced anybody like Ohio State. Might keep it close if they do that. You know, might make it more interesting.
I think they could do it.
Could they threaten to pass? Can you do a, you know, like a drop back, you know, quarterback draw, and maybe, you know?
Will we see Kenny Guyton in this game? Will we see Jazzy? the personnel of Kenny Guyton at quarterback?
We won't see Jazzy because we saw it last week, just so Michigan would have to work on it, and, you know, then they won't show it.
Yeah.
I don't think Kenny Guyton will play. Because this game was close last year. Michigan led at the half, you know, and I don't think they should have.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just funny things happen with Michigan-Ohio State.
Yeah, I just can't see it happening. I can't see it happening on Saturday. Michigan is too bad. Ohio State is too good. I don't care.
You know,
I'm not throwing out the records. I am not throwing out the records. This is going to be ugly, and that's my thoughts.
Yeah. You think Ohio State's offense is sort of gotten a little more predictable? Even the players have talked about how they're getting more, you know, defenses are keying on them more, and, you know, they sort of know what they're doing. So, I mean, do you think that does Tom Herman need to change anything up, or can they just do what they're doing?
They can just do what they're doing. Yeah. Michigan is not good enough. I mean, what are they? They're 3-4 in the Big Ten. They're losers of 3 of their last 4. They beat Northwestern in 3 overtimes 2 weeks ago. They're not good enough. They're not going to give Ohio State a game.
I mean, you say that, but it's just stranger things have happened.
What's the line?
Is it 12.5 or is it 12?
Take it to the bank. It's easy. They'll cover easily. Ohio State will.
And we talked about this the other day, but if the name Michigan wasn't on this game, and if it was, you know, Purdue or Minnesota, what would the line be?
Yeah, it'd be 17.
Yeah.
More.
Right.
I mean, this Michigan team is not one of the better teams, not one of the, you know, top 6 teams in the Big Ten. I mean, do you think?
I mean, it's the 5th place team in the Legends Division, so, I mean, you know, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I mean,
like I said, they should not be able to win. They have no advantages in this game. Even the home field isn't an advantage because Buckeye fans will be louder than Michigan fans.
Yeah. I mean, I know crazy stuff happens in this rivalry, but crazy stuff happens when you have two competent teams.
Mm. Yeah, I'll agree with you there, but, you know, I won't go as far as you.
All right, what are you picking?
I'm going to take the Buckeyes. I don't know about a score yet. Maybe like a 34
to. Are they going
to
cover? 12.5, is that what you said?
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
So you're taking the points and.
They should. Obviously, they should cover. It should be a 3-touchdown win.
Good. I don't want to say should. You got the mic. You got to make a prediction.
How about like a 35-14? See, no, 35. I can't do
now
that.
You got to make me do the math. 35 minus 14.
That's 21. I can't.
One.
I don't know yet. I don't know.
All right. Well, Gerd's not going to make a prediction. I'm telling you right now, Ohio State will cover the 12.5 point spread. We got to wrap this up, though, because we got an interview to get to, and we got to listen to Brady Hoke. So anything else you want to add about that?
No, I'm done.
All right. Now our definitive interview.
Right. With
Kirk Barton.
All right.
All right. We're joined now by Kirk Barton, former Ohio State offensive lineman. He's going to talk a little Michigan with us. He beat the Wolverines 4 times between 2004 and 2007. Thanks for joining us, Kirk. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. First of all, we want to talk to you just a little bit about the team up north. Like we were saying, you were on some teams that were really successful against them. Just first of all, how did you guys prepare for those games? You know, in the days leading up, both mentally and physically, was it different than other weeks? Just because you were so successful against them, was it the same schedule or was it, you know, something different?
I mean, our practice schedule is pretty similar, but, you know, you always match up the intent to be up a little bit for a game like this because you know how important it is for your career and for, you know, really for your season. So this is the one game on the docket that you lose and it kind of wrecks the whole season. So, you know how important it is and you know that they're going to bring their best game. And this is the same way.
Yeah, definitely. Can you? Is there any like single thing that you can point at that maybe one of the factors into why you guys were so successful against them?
Yeah, I think really from that, our good players and great players play at a higher level, you know, than any other players. Like when I was fortunate, I had Troy in 04, 05, 06, and he was unbelievable in those three games. He really, you know, in terms of like a three game performance, I can't imagine a four point slight better against good Michigan teams. You know, he really, in 05, he basically, you know, brought us back early on. I want to say we were down like 12, like 7 minutes to go, and Troy brought us all the way back because I was worried about that. You know, it's also nice, like, you know, Anthony Gonzalez made huge players, San Antonio Holmes did. Our defense always played great. Like, our guys all raised their level to beat Michigan. That's why we're so successful.
Yeah, and that game you mentioned was one of the ones up there. Is it, how much different is it playing that game up there? Is it a lot tougher, or is it kind of you block out the crowd and it's just, you know, once you're on the field, it's just game on?
I mean, it's not that much tougher. I honestly like playing up there because, you know, their crowd is kind of, there's a line of cheese coming across. They're all vicious, and they're, you know, just checking their stuff reports during the game. It's okay, especially the game, so they don't get real loud. But it's all, it's fun to go out there. Honestly, I've said to people a week that it's not a winning day, but it's a horseshoe because, yeah, it's sort of the last game of the year we get to break their senior day.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. Which win was your favorite? You got 2006, which led to a national championship, but 2007, you ruined, you know, a bunch of seniors. You know, Jake Long and all those guys came back just to beat Ohio State, and you guys sent them home with a loss. And which of the four wins was your favorite?
Yeah, those 7 years for sure. And that was funny, guys. The senior year game is like a fall of the most. Yeah. Just because it's your last crackdown, and if you don't win that one, then for the rest of your life you won't have a loss. You know, it's something that is real important and we stress that, but you know, you don't want to go off the loss the rest of your career. It's kind of a bad way to go. And plus, you know, we lost on senior day, and I think we lost to Illinois, which is terrible. And like, it's just like a nice retribution since our senior day are in. We got to, I mean, I'd rather win their senior day and enjoy my, my whole year.
Yeah, you didn't have much experience losing to them, but, you know, the year you did redshirt in 2003, you guys lost. What was that like? How painful was that to lose to them? I know you only did it once, but, you know, this team did it in 2011, so it seems like some of them are still trying to, you know, get maybe a little bit of revenge for that game. What was that like?
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird on your redshirt because, you know, you don't travel. But it's kind of like, you're almost kind of like a fan. Like, you're a fan that's on the fan. And, you know, it sucks, but, like, you know, when you're not on the trip, you don't, like, see the trash in the guys go through the game. It's all, like, obviously, it's terrible for the program because we were in the hunt for the national championship that year. We ended up losing up there, and we ended up having it was stressful. But, you know, it sucks. Like, I mean, it literally, when I used to play, it was the week before Thanksgiving, so it went through Thanksgiving. It went through Christmas, because when you go home, everybody wants to know what happened, good or bad. You know, and I could imagine facing people in the bad sense of playing off, playing lost, like it would have just been awful, to be honest. And then I said that to guys like that, you don't have to go with the city during Christmas season or the loss to Michigan, because the city's already brutal, and it's like, you know, listen to those guys, it's just as bad as it can get.
Now, when I was at Ohio State, when I was in school, Michigan week for me changed because, you know, number one, we didn't go to class, you know, we stayed up late and partied. So I'm assuming, I mean, is that the same, was that the same for you?
Oh, you mean for some of our students?
Yeah. Well, no, for you personally.
In school, it's a very good practice, so you can't get too crazy. I usually would, if I walk around there, like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I used to, like, I out here, like, you know, just walk around, because, honestly, I thought that was the coolest thing that I'd seen at Ohio State, because how crazy their students were, and how much they really cared about that game. You know, that you know, too corny, but it's kind of inspiring, you see all these people, you know, they're singing the Dungeon of the Damned on Machine's arm, and it's a
Yeah.
You played in four of those games. You mentioned the other one where you redshirted. What would be maybe your biggest piece of advice to a freshman or somebody who's never played in the game, somebody maybe from out of state who hasn't really experienced the rivalry? What advice would you give them going into their first game?
It's an intense game. I mean, I was fortunate because in our first drive against Michigan at 4, we turned the ball for a long. You know, so that kind of alleviated some of the pressure because we were probably like 10-point underdogs at the time. You know, we were a very good team. We were competing at the Alamo Bowl, and they were going to the Rose Bowl. So I mean, they felt like that Michigan had a better team, but. You know, it's the thing, I've told the guys this year, I'm like, look, I mean, you know, so they'll be a fit this sort of game. And well, we'd be like 37-21, like, softly, because we have guys make plays. And yeah, the biggest thing is that for us, stay in the rituals, like, whatever you can follow, yes, do that, but I just focus on the moment, because it's not a real level building.
Yeah.
And, you know, based off how their fans treat you, you'll be plenty of fans, because their fans, you know, they're not one of those fans. I love playing plenty of stuff here in pregame. And plus, you know, you just have fans here there. You can't do the same in Michigan. We're not able to play anyway. So those kinds of fans are used to enough intensity to play the game off.
So obviously we know Tressel was good at beating them. What about Urban, though? I mean, we know you spent some time on his staff. You're familiar with him. Give us some insight into him. What is he like on a game day, maybe especially a Michigan game day? What's he like leading up to this this week? How intense is he? You know, how is he trying to get those guys prepared?
Yeah, he's really awesome. He's always an intense guy. I mean, you know, there's lots of intense on Tressel the way that I was, but... Yeah, Michigan, he really gets Brian Lurie, which is why we're fortunate we have him. He's never liked Michigan, he's always hated Michigan. He doesn't say Michigan other than to slip up with the press conference.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, he really, you know, I mean, he'll be hands on with the players, the coaches. I mean, he'll grab those guys, make sure they're ready to go. Because he has some space, and he knows that, you know, his legacy, you know, he can't, like, the worst thing that can happen to that, I told the guys this year, I was like, well, you know, he ends up with this one streak on, but if he was this far, then the streak is not important. I mean, nobody's going to care about that streak. Mm-hmm. You guys, this is not important. But that's my answer. You know, he just, you know, he's an intense dude, but I mean, those guys are going to play, make the game plan, and run. And I feel good about it. You know, that's the thing. That's like easy with Coach Leonard being the head coach going on. I never feel like a team's going to help prepare us or over us or really know anything else.
So speaking of Urban, Carlos Hyde became his first 1,000-yard rush or running back on Saturday. You blocked for 3,000-yard seasons, twice Antonio Pittman, once Beanie Wells, during your career. How much of that credit should go to the offensive line?
You know, I'd say it's a certain amount. You know, just because, running back might be a versatility, but playing time at the offensive line is a tough experience. You know, if you look at, you know, Ray Strong's group, like Miami Jackson, will try to run more, and he can't get any yards because he gets hurt in the backfield. And Carlos, I think Carlos is really a special back, but, you know, he also gets four really, really good seniors and a really good sophomore blocker for him. You know, and those guys, they're tough, they don't miss games, they don't miss practices, they don't miss any reps, they really care, like, they really want to be really good players. And you kind of see from the fruition, like, when you watch a season like this. And then you got a kid like Carlos who has some adversity, wasn't handed a spot because, you know, he fell to beat out Ezekiel, who had been a cool special player. Jordan Hall through three games arguably could have been an all Big Ten candidate based on his numbers. And then, you know, Carlos came back because he really runs hard. You know, he knows that those kind of attitude of the team is that we want tall teams and we want to run the ball, and we're not like a chess and dope red team. Like, we're a physical downhill running team. And the funny thing about their turn off their spine, I finally have a software back, is, you know, there's so many years in a row where he led the SEC in Ratchinar, but he just had seven guys carry the ball.
Yeah.
You know, instead of one. Yeah, guys get like 900 yards, 800. But, you know, obviously that is like a silly stat that, yeah, a lot of the pros and teams would use against us for recruiting. They said that we've never had a software back behind. Like, they're actually like 3,000 yards in Florida against, like, Alabama and LSU. And it's been a great scheme. Well, and you can't downplay Chris Myers'
How hard is it going to be to replace four of those guys when they leave next year off the offensive line?
Yeah, it'll be hard, but I think we've got capable guys. You know, honestly, Coach Morrow's a really good coach. Picking her at his special development plays. But, yeah, I think Taylor is going to be a really good player before he leaves. He's already starting that trajectory. I think Paul Allsheim will be the next guy. I think he'll be a special player as well. And then, Bennett's response, I mean, you know, we're recruiting some JUCOs, we've got some freshmen, we've got some redshirt freshmen. Bennett's response is going to be pretty much good for Browns. And it'll be nice because, you know, when you have that many guys in spots, we have many guys competing for them, but sometimes those guys are racing a lot more than one time a spot. So, it's going to be an interesting span of awareness of those guys through their conditioning or through spread ball to see who kind of rises to the top.
You were part of a 19-game winning streak from 2005-2006. The current team's up to 23 straight games now, a school record. What goes into a winning streak like that? How hard is it to stay focused and make sure you don't trip up, from week to week?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the best thing is they're just backing down into one-game seasons. Looking ahead. So, a lot of teams, like, when you see some of these concepts and goals of ours, and teams get caught up looking ahead, or coaches aren't focused, or players aren't focused. And, you know, the thing about Chris Myers, he's going to keep everybody tuned in and focused, you know, because that's how it is. Like, we never look ahead, we always focus on the event, and we take it one game at a time. And that's why he's had, like, so many. I mean, I think this is his third 20-game winning streak.
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable. You know, yeah. That's what happened in college football with 85 scholarships. Like, that's just what happened. So, yeah, his method is really, really good. And, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. And, like, you have to really focus on it. Like, you don't look at the next business and whether you're going to the middle school or the national championship game. Like, you really have to focus on it.
Right. Getting back to the Michigan game, Gerd, I want to ask you, what would Michigan have to do to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they'd have to play like they did earlier in the season. I feel like they're strong on the offensive line, which is really kind of was good. In 2004, we were really young, and we had some games where we played better at the lines that really struggled with us. So it was better, like I said, where I think that's what they're dealing with. Get that in the senior level time. We're going to have a lot of freshmen, sophomores, and the rest of their positions. So, yeah, it's just in a, for those guys that have to play at a higher level, because our defense are trying to play really well right now. Between Jerry Bezdenes, Matt Spackle Bennett, Dolphins, when he gets in there, like those guys are playing at a lot more. The Michigan front side on offense is going to have to play at a really high level to make this game again.
So what's your prediction?
Some prediction. I mean, I'd say probably like 38-14.
Ohio State or Michigan?
Ohio State, for sure.
Just being clear.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anything else you want to add about this, Gerd?
No, I'm good. I got my answer that I wanted. It was 2007, the Kirk Barton's favorite Michigan win.
Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
You know, I saw it special. I really tried to, kind of get that through the heads of the seniors. We had a great senior club, so we're really fortunate. It'd be a shame for, anything to happen to what they've done to this program. And it all comes out of their morning on Saturday. And it's your last one. I mean, that's the one you can't lose.
Right. Before we let you go, Kirk, I just have one off-topic question for you. Because Gerd and I have this dispute going. How do you feel about the movie Space Jam?
Space Jam?
Yeah, Space Jam. Have you seen it?
I wish I had Michael Jordan's agent for that movie. She worked for like 3 hours and $20 million on the CGI stuff. It's okay. I remember I used to play the PlayStation game. I actually made Torque better than all the monsters, which I thought was hilarious because I was like 15 people. But, it was okay. I mean, it was good. Bill Murray was in it.
Right.
I can't remember.
So
See, I've never seen it, and I don't care to see it.
Gerd has never seen Space Jam, and I love it, so it's a dispute we have going.
It's not bad. I think I had a decent soundtrack when I was in, like, 7th grade.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Will you be at the game this weekend, or if not, where are you watching it from?
I'm going to be at my house in the woods with probably a few shots of beverages. I can't wait.
All right, sounds good. Thanks again. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. All right, you too. Bye. So there you have it. Kirk Barton loves spoiling Michigan Senior Day and also loves Space Jam.
No, he said he was okay
with it. I think he said he liked it.
No, that's not true at all. Nobody could actually love that thing.
Oh, gosh. One of these days, Kirk. Thanks so much to Kirk for joining us. We'll be back next week to recap this one and preview a Big Ten Championship game. Till then, peace out.
Yep. Have a good day.